Well, we're in the book of Proverbs, and I called this study Five Fools in Proverbs, although, as I said last night, we're actually going to touch on seven, and you'll see how tonight. There's a little bit of overlap, and your pastor jokingly said it was a deal, a one, you know, buy five fools, get two free. So that's the deal I'm offering this week. So the hope is that as we look at these fools that Solomon outlined and described, that we'll see in our own character where we need to pick it up. But also we'll be able to identify those who are suffering from this or that and be able to help them to be the voice of wisdom with the Word of God. In this lesson, we're going to look at two characters. I call them the lazy one and the lax one. That's my translation of the words. The main one, and by the way, last night we did an exhaustive look at the pithy, at the simple-minded. We looked at every time Solomon used that word, we looked at it last night. And tonight we're going to do the same with the Otsel and the Remiya. But we won't be able to the rest of the week because the other three fools, or four fools, he spends a lot more time. We won't be able to hit all of them. They're just time will fail us, but we're going to hit the high points anyway. But the first word is the Otsel. The Otsel, it's a noun from a verb that means to be lazy. It's translated lazy or sluggard, but it means something that is sticky, sluggish, or slow to get moving. Slow is your first fill in the blank. Sticky, sluggish, or slow to get moving. Please don't elbow anybody beside you if that suddenly reminded you of the person you're sitting next to. Let's don't be that way. The second word that Solomon also introduces, but not much. He doesn't spend a lot of time on this one. I call it the lax one. The Hebrew word remiya. Remiya means slack. Literally slack, and from that can be extrapolated the idea of idle or loose, slack. As we'll see in a little bit, it often referred to a bow, like a bow and arrow, that was untrustworthy because the limbs were too weak, didn't have enough spring in them. And so the string was slack. And so it was an unreliable bow. And so that's kind of the idea of the Remiya, slack, idle, loose. The next fill in the blank is righteousness. We're going to see in this lesson, though, that as Solomon juxtaposes the lazy one or the lax one against other things, he proposes that laziness and laxness are actually the opposite of righteousness, at least in some aspects. Righteousness is your fill in the blank. The next one is diligence. On the other hand, diligence, he compares or considers diligence to be honesty and faithfulness. I had a conversation last night after we got home. My daughter, she's started a quick little summer job here between her year in college, and she started a little restaurant that was just a startup in Malvern. It's only in its second week of operation and third week, something like that anyway. And so she was a breath of fresh air, you know, because most of the kids they were working with were 16 and didn't know anything. And she had a lot of experience and had a year of college under her belt. And so, you know, but she was just sitting and she was just talking, kind of complaining a little bit about the different characters she's met, the ones that she loves and the ones that she doesn't know what to do with. And I was astounded as she kept talking about this person, that person. And I was like, and it just kind of came down to, things like, you know, if there's a tip jar at the takeout window, and the tips that are put in there are supposed to be distributed among all the people that are, well, whoever's running that particular, they just empty the jar into their pocket, or you know. Y'all are looking at me funny. I had the same thought. I thought, why would they? You know, that's not their money until, you know, the manager says it's their money. But no, they thought, well, that's my money. I earned that by standing here. And, you know, and ring, okay, you owe this much. And so, you know, I earned that. That's kind of their mentality. And you know, time management and, you know, just all the different things that she began to talk about. And there was all these moral character failures and flaws that were just like, and I said, I just couldn't help acting 54 years old for a second there. And she said, Dad, it's 2022. That's life. You know, that's just, and from her perspective, that's the way everybody is. You know, you don't find people with character. And so you just assume they don't have character. Well, that may be true, you know, at Belly's Restaurant, but it shouldn't be true of this church or any church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So let's look at these characters now, and if the shoe fits, you know, change your foot. Change your foot. Let's don't do that. Okay, first of all, the first thing we discover that he points out the most, he repeats it a couple times, is that laziness makes excuses. Laziness makes excuses. Proverbs 22:13, the lazy man, the otzel says, there's a lion outside, I shall be slain in the streets. Now, this is a wild exaggeration. Obviously, Solomon's being humorous, but yet he's making a serious point. He wants us to see the ridiculousness of making excuses. When we stand before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ, is there going to be a moment where you have a chance to clear your throat and explain all of the excuses that you have for why you didn't serve Him? When you see Him in all His glory, in all His grace, in all His power, do you think you're going to feel justified? Well, I was justified in disobeying you. I don't think so. So if excuses won't have any weight then, why would we give them weight now? There's a lion outside, the lazy man says. I remember hearing one of my former members talking about his former pastor, who said his former pastor had gone to visit someone who laid out a church for several weeks, and he went out to say, well, Brother John, we've been missing you at church, you and your family. I sure wish you all would come back. Is there something going on? Is there a problem? And he said, well, my bird dog's got a limp. And the preacher said, what? So my bird dog's got a limp. That's why we hadn't been to church. He said, well, what does your bird dog have to do with your church attendance? He said, well, one excuse is as good as another. I mean, there's, you know, might as well be. I mean, when you're talking about something as serious as church going. So that was his excuse. His bird dog had a limp. That's kind of like there's a lion outside when there really isn't a lion outside. One excuse is as good as another. Proverbs 26:13, he repeats this again and with a little more explanation. The otzel, the lazy man says, there's a lion in the road. A fierce lion is in the streets. As a door turns on its hinges, so does the lazy man on his bed. The lazy man buries his hand in the bowl. It wearies him to bring it back to his mouth. The lazy man is, the otzel is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly. Okay, now that's a little bit of a treatise there on the otzel. The lazy man says there's a lion in the road. That's significant. Why does he say there's a lion in the road? Because that's where he should be going. He should be on that road. He should be getting to work or getting to wherever that he knows he should be. But he imagines, he dreams up that there's some danger, there's some reason why I can't get on the road and accomplish the things I should be doing. This lion excuse. And Solomon is saying it's not fear that's keeping you at home. It's laziness. Laziness, not fear, keeps us from accomplishing much good. And listen, let's just be real honest. We just came through a very, very great trial of faith in which our nation, and really not just our nation, but the whole world was greatly tempted to let fear paralyze them. Stay at home, stay away, don't touch anybody, don't talk to anybody, don't do this, don't do that, because you might get a virus. Right? What I find, it took me a long time to figure this out, but I find that when the Word of God talks about the opposite of faith, it doesn't talk about unbelief. It talks about fear. Always in my mind, I thought, well, unbelief is the opposite of faith, but that's not what I see in the Bible. I always see faith juxtaposed against fear. But here he says the lazy man's making fear his excuse, but it's really not. He's made up this, I'm afraid, this, you know, I can't do this, I can't do that because I'm afraid. Really? Is it really fear? Or is it really laziness? Are you really just stuck to that couch and you can't get off of it? He mentions being stuck to something. As a door turns on its hinges, so does the lazy man on his bed. You know, fear is your first one. Like the second one is the word goes. The door turns often. You know, it's just moving all the time, especially at my house. But it goes nowhere. Why? Because it's attached to hinges on one side, right? A lot of movement, but no real activity. It doesn't go anywhere. And that may be true of us sometimes. We may feel like we're running around like the proverbial chicken with its head cut off, but we're not accomplishing anything. Is that really beneficial activity? You're moving a lot, but you might as well be in bed for all that you're accomplishing. And in this case, the Otzel just stays in bed. He might as well be attached to his mattress. Attached is your fill in the blank. Just like a door is attached to the hinges. Solomon, again, is exaggerating, but he exaggerated that some people are too lazy to feed themselves. To feed themselves. They put their hand in the bowl and it's just too much trouble to put it back to their mouth. Now, obviously, I don't know if you've ever seen anybody that lazy, but he's exaggerating. What he's getting at is that a job is the best way to put food on the table. This is a very, very serious thing. I mean, that one hits my household personally. We have been in a big struggle with our eldest for some time. And, you know, and there was a point when he was my kid that worked. He mowed yards. He made his bed every day. He would vacuum and do it happily. He was my kid that worked. He was my kid that would, you know, the other two, you had to stay on them and stay on them and stay on them and just finally just live with a standard that's much lower than the one you want, you know. And then he got some friends. And these friends had learned how to live without working. I don't know how they did it, but, you know, there are ways apparently to do that. And he's been homeless and jobless for the better part of 2 years. And he, thank the Lord, supposedly has a job at this moment, working at a sawmill. And he's had a number of jobs. They just don't last more than 2 weeks. So we're hoping maybe this will be the time. You know, he's 22 years old now. It's time. But he saw how these people could live without working. They just hung out. And that became the highlight of his life. He would say, I'm just chilling. That was his word. I'm just chilling. What that meant was I'm hanging out with people. Right? He might be in another city. We went to Houston to hang out. You did what? You had worked in weeks. How did you go to Houston? Well, I'm in, you know, here. We're hanging out. We're chilling. Or we're making a rap video. Oh, really? You know, it's been hard. It's been difficult to see how quickly a lot of hard work and training can just be unraveled in a moment. It becomes a real character issue. It's a real hurt for our family, really. And so while I know that Solomon is exaggerating, but what he's talking about is real. It can undo a lot of good in someone's life if we allow it to take root in our heart and to grow a bit. Look at this last one. The lazy man is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly. And that's kind of the thing we keep running into with our son. He thinks he's smarter because he's found a way to live without having to work. But you understand, he's not living. I mean, he's got the clothes on his back and he sleeps on different people's couches, and he has to hang out with addicts because they're the ones that put up with him. And this kind of life is not a life, but he thinks he's smart. He thinks he's got this all figured out. Lazy people think that they are being wise and resourceful by avoiding the labor associated with hard work. Now, it's true, there is an old saying that says, work smarter, not harder. But it still says work, doesn't it? Isn't that a part of that phrase, work? Did God create Adam and Eve to have a permanent vacation, or did they not initially give them responsibility and work? Yes, they had a garden, and yes, it provided all of their needs, but they had to tend it in order to get the benefit of it. They had to be responsible for it. And so the otzel is the opposite of righteousness, is the opposite of doing what God has asked us to do. Laziness becomes a bandit. And again, this is another one he emphasizes a couple of times. Proverbs 6:6, he tells the otzel, go to the ant, you sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? And then he says, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, so shall your poverty come on you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. Your first fill in the blank is ant. Solomon advised the otzel to go study the tiny ant. Now, he probably didn't know anything about fire ants, but they may be a different a different class. But typically speaking, when we're talking about ants, we're talking about some of the very few insects in the world, though there's billions of insects in the world, that live in a colony. Usually that's not the standard operating procedure for insects. But there are a few that live in colonies, and ants being one of them. And colonies work together to store food for the population. And notice he says, consider her ways and be wise. What about her ways in particular? They don't have a captain. They don't have an overseer. They don't have a ruler. In other words, ants do not have taskmasters or supervisors forcing them to work. Forcing them to work. I can't remember who it was, but someone, I think back when I was in MESF, had made a challenging statement to the college students about it being a character issue that if your boss walks in to the room where you're working, you suddenly work harder than you were before he walked in or she walked in. That's a character issue. Because the Bible tells us that we're not working for company X. Who do we work for? Right? We work for the Lord. He runs a temp service. He hires us out to other companies, but we work for the Lord. And so it doesn't matter who comes through that door. It shouldn't change the quality of the work we're doing. We should be doing the best we can for the Lord. So laziness becomes a bandit. He says it steals. It's a prowler. So your first one, like, was ant. The second one, colony. The third one is forcing. The ants are, they're born with this instinct to gather more food than can be eaten today. It's very simple premise. Gather more food than can be eaten today, because there's days will come when we can't gather food. The future, you're feeling like the future winter will have many days without opportunity to harvest. And so while there's a harvest, they labor. He continues, verse 9, how long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. Your next fill in the blank is the word rest. Laziness is a desire to linger at rest. I'm not saying that you don't need sleep. You do. You do need sleep. You do need rest. But there's a balance. There's a balance. If you're sleeping, and we have a recovery ministry there at our church that used to be doing much better. Ever since COVID, it's been very difficult for us to help people and reach people. But, you know, a lot of the people that we deal with that have addictions, it usually comes down to depression. They're just self-medicating with something that a doctor would not prescribe for depression. And, you know, if they stop taking their medicine, you know what they do? They stay in bed. They stay in bed. They stay in bed. They stay in bed. Which is not the best place to feel good. And so it's a downward spiral. And sometimes we're like, you know, you gotta get up. You gotta get involved. You gotta get outside. You gotta go see people. And that's another thing. They're paranoid. They don't want to be, you know, it's hard to get, they'll come to the recovery meeting, but they won't come to church. You know why? They're scared of people. Well, how did that start? Well, it started by all this isolation. And so what I'm getting at is laziness can lead to worse things, clinical things, problems that you know, there'll be a part where you can't get out of bed if you don't learn to make yourself get up and do and be involved and get some sunshine and some fresh air and accomplish the things that God wants you to accomplish. Your next fill in the blank is measure. Sleep is good if done at the proper time and in the proper measure. But too much sleep for the ant would starve out the ant colony. And so he says laziness becomes like a bandit that robs the future of necessities. We need to work while we can, because the darkness is coming. That's true if we're talking about financially, but it's very true if we're talking about the Lord's work. We got a window. We got to work in that window. Let's don't be lazy. Let's don't be the outsell. Let's don't be stuck to something like a bed or a chair that keeps us from serving the Lord and from getting involved in other people's lives. Don't make up lions that stand in the road. Don't pretend like there's something that I'm afraid of. If you fear the Lord, what else could you fear? Y'all get that? Think about it a moment. If you fear the Lord, what else could you fear? I love the fact that when David, after David had become God's chosen king, although he was not yet king, the first man that we know of that he ever fought to the death was a giant. You ever think about that? What man could he ever be afraid of after that? If the first man you ever do combat with is 9 foot tall, Should you ever fear any other man? Well, we ought to kind of have a little of that in us, that we're going to get things done, not because we're good, but because God's good and because he's going to do it through us. Look at verse 30 of chapter 24. I went by the field of the otzel, the lazy man, and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. There's that phrase again, lacking of heart, we talked about last night, that means lacking effort. And there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. When I saw it, I considered it well and looked on it and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. So shall your poverty come like a prowler and your need like an armed man. There it is again. He repeated that same statement. He went by the field of someone who had just slowly over time, you know, they were still farming, but they had just allowed some maintenance issues to go. And, you know, this is very convicting because I know what he's talking about. We've got hay fields. In fact, that's where I came from this evening. I came from the hay field. But we've got hay fields that used to be, say, 20 acres, and now they're more like 18 acres. Why? Because there's about 10 feet of fence row we can't get up in there anymore because we've let the sprouts become trees and the trees have reached out and got you pushed back, you know. What happened? Well, we just didn't get around to it, right? We didn't get that accomplished. We didn't keep that fence row cleared out, and now it's pushing us back and we can't cut as much hay as we used to. Well, a little sleep, a little slumber, you know, a little neglect here, a little neglect there, and it has a cumulative effect. Now, this can be true financially. This can be true in your marriage. This can be true in your parenting. This certainly can be true in your church work. Just a little neglect here, a little lack of maintenance there, and what happens? You know, someone walks by and says, boy, your walls are sure falling over, and the nettles have taken over your fence row. And you know, and Solomon said that he learned something from that. He learned. You fill in the blank, his farm. First fill in the blank, his farm. Solomon draws wisdom from observing the otzel's farm, a lazy man's farm. The lazy man is equated with a man who lacks heart. Or remember, effort. That's a phrase we learned last night that Solomon uses in Proverbs. So this lazy man, this no effort man, had a field full of thorns and weeds. The stone wall protecting his vineyard was broken down. And Solomon learned from this that poverty sneaks up and attacks the excessive napper when he least expects it. Poverty. Now, we're all very wealthy on a worldwide scale. If you have more than one pair of shoes, you're doing good. If you got enough food for today and tomorrow, you're wealthy. If you got a car, you're a king. If you actually have an entire house to park your car in called a garage, I don't know what you are. You know, on a worldwide scale. Now here we just think, well, I'm just making it. Yeah, that's because we're very, very spoiled to having so much. So sometimes we don't see the poverty. In fact, sometimes our poverty is kind of reverse poverty. We're surrounded by opulence, but we're in debt up to our eyeballs. You know, it's just another form of poverty, just if you're aware of it. We spend more than we make, unfortunately. Poverty sneaks up and attacks when we're not being diligent. All right, something else laziness does, it procrastinates. Proverbs 20, verse 4, the otzel, the lazy man, will not plow because of winter. He will beg during harvest and have nothing. Okay, you got to think about that. Fall is when they plant winter cereal grains. Usually about the month of September. It's when that farmer would be out there, you know, when the early rains would come and soften that old hard baked ground. You know, the month of July and August would just bake the ground too hard. The kind of plows and implements they had, they would have a terrible time trying to break that up. But those early rains would come in early September, soften that ground. And boy, the window was open and they better get that ground broken and get seed in the soil because winter was coming. But if someone's attitude was, well, winter's coming, He's never going to get the plow out. He's never going to get seed in the ground. And therefore, you know, once winter does come, it's too late to get seed germinated. There won't be any cereal growing out there. There won't be any wheat. There won't be any barley. There won't be any spelt growing out there in that field come April when it's time to go harvest. And so he procrastinates to the point that winter comes. Now it's too late to get seed in the ground. So your first film lake is avoid. The lazy person avoids actually plowing in the fall. Somehow or other, he keeps putting it off until it is too late. But in the spring harvest, he's going to be asking for bread, and he'll find none in his own cupboard. He'll have nothing as he goes asking. Laziness delays timely planting and prevents happy harvesting. Prevents. That's true of the farmer. Listen, that's true of a lot of things in life. We need to sow when we can. You just never know. Too many times I've known in my mind, I need to go visit so-and-so. I've never talked with so-and-so about their soul. I'll get that next week. Too many times, this really has happened to me. Before I got to have that conversation, I was being asked to do a funeral. It's too late. I should have done it when I had the chance. But I put it off. It may sound wise, say, well, I've got more important things to do. I've got to do this first. That may sound important, but that really is just procrastinating on what's most important. Chapter 15, verse 19. The way, meaning the road, the path of the otzel, is like a hedge of thorns. But the way of the upright is a highway. Oh, if y'all don't get anything else, y'all soak this one up. This is so good. The way, the road of the otzel, the lazy man, is a hedge of thorns to him. You know, so as he knows, this is the road that God needs me to walk. This is the road that I need to go to fulfill my responsibilities. But all he can see is a two-year-old cutover. Y'all are from Arkansas, right? You know, when they come in and cut all the pine trees? Well, the first year, it's nice to open. But what happens about the second year? The blackberries and the greenbriars and you know, the hawthorns and everything else suddenly has fresh air and sunshine, and you know what the year before you could have walked across and just enjoyed your stroll, but the next year, if you started on this side, by the time you get to the other side of that 40, you won't have a stitch of clothing left. I mean, it'll just tear it off of you, the thorns. And so when he looks at the road that he's supposed to be traveling on, all he sees is a hedge of thorns. I can't do this. This is more than I can do. God's asking too much of me. When has God ever asked too much of you? Go look at the cross again and then ask, could he ever ask too much of me? But the way of the upright is a highway. It's a highway. Your first field blank is path. The lazy man sees a hedgerow of sharp thorns across every path that leads to a better life or leads to the work that he should be doing. But the upright only see a highway in front of them. We were talking about David a moment ago. Everyone in the Israeli camp looked out into the valley and saw a giant. But David, the little teenager, he looked out into the valley and he saw a fool. He mocked God, what a fool. He can't possibly survive long. Anybody that foolish? See the difference? Now, the upright may be looking at the same hedge of thorns that the otzel sees, but in his mind, it's a highway because God wouldn't ask me to do it if he wasn't going to get me through it. It may be difficult, but it's not impossible. If God asked me to go there, it's important to him, so it's important to me. How often do you see a highway How often do you see a hedge of thorns when it comes to doing what you know you ought to do? Procrastination looks for reasons and problems to stay put. Man, I've been guilty of that. I know I have been. Too many times. Looking for reasons, inventing problems to stay put. But uprightness, and that word literally means to be straight. And when I think of straight, I think that means in line with the Word of God. In line with the Word of God means to be straight, upright. Uprightness gets going in spite of momentary difficulties. And uprightness is your next fill in blank, by the way. We see in this proverb that uprightness is considered the opposite in some respects of laziness. Uprightness. Proverbs 10:26, another exaggeration. As vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the lazy man to those who send him. You know, the acid of vinegar, if you experience sensitive teeth, you can't even, you know, you can't dream of putting something like that in your mouth because of the pain it would cause. Pain is your fill in the blank. The acid of the vinegar causes pain, sharp pain to the teeth. And you know, and if you've ever gotten too close to the grill when you're cooking bad hamburgers, you know that smoke hurts the eyes. You know, it's very acrid and it just burns. Yeah, that's not a comfortable feeling anytime there's smoke in your eyes. And so he says, that's not a pleasant. And he says, those are both sharp and sharply painful, you might say. But Solomon used these experiences to express the emotional pain of depending on a lazy man. Depending is your fill in the blank to get a job done. Or in this case, to send him to get something done. It may be better to go do it yourself than to send a sluggard. Chapter 19, verse 24. Again, he talks about the lazy man being too lazy to feed himself. A lazy man buries his hand in the bowl and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. Now, again, that's an exaggeration. You can't imagine, you know, the police discovering someone found dead at home. You know, he's got a bowl of spaghetti and one hand over in it, but there he is, dead of starvation. You're like, what? Couldn't you get it from there to there? You starved to death like that. Obviously, it's an exaggeration. Lazy is the fill in the blank. A person too lazy to eat. But Solomon felt this way whenever he saw people ignoring many projects that needed to be done, or many, maybe not projects, but maybe responsibilities that needed to be done, without seemingly seeing the need. Somebody ought to do something about that. Well, the fact that you saw it, maybe that was God's nudge that you do it. Laziness desires but fails to act. The soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. Now, don't see that word rich and think money, because your soul doesn't enjoy money. Your soul can't use money. Your soul doesn't have a wallet. He's talking about a better kind of riches here. The kind of riches that make a soul wealthy. But think about this. The otzel desires and has nothing. Laziness is not a lack of desire for good things. No. Usually they're eat up with desire. They want everything you have and more, probably. Desire is your first one. Like the next one is earn. Laziness is a lack of willingness to earn those good things. Desire will not accomplish what diligence can. And the diligent have more than enough. They may even be considered rich. And again, we're not talking about finances, although diligence can affect your finances. Interesting, the word translated as diligent here, and I don't have a problem with being translated diligent. I think that expresses the idea, but that noun refers to something that's polished or sharpened. It comes from a verb that means to polish, or like you're going to whet a knife on a stone to sharpen it, or an arrowhead. And sometimes it's used of polishing the shaft of the arrow and sharpening the point of the arrow so it flies better, so it penetrates better. Sharp, we would say. The sharp one, the diligent one, the soul of the... Now, I don't know, have you ever asked your pocket knife how much it enjoys being sharpened? Or, you know, every night my wife, she'll just put a stack of her little cutting knives that on the table. She'll say, do something with these. And what she means is sharpen them, you know. When they will no longer, you know, she can no longer slice tomatoes with them, she's done. You know, sharpen these. Do something with them. And so I get out the steel and I go to working to bring them back to sharpness. I never thought to ask them how they felt about that. It may not be a pleasant experience, but you know what happens? They become more effective for the job that they were created to do. And so it is with the diligence, I think. God has to do some polishing on us. He has to do some sanding on us. Sometimes he has to put our face right down on the whetstone and rub real hard to get us to the kind of edge that is necessary for us to accomplish what he's called us to do. But that's okay. Hey, there's great riches of the soul waiting for the diligent, for the sharp, for those who have allowed the work of God to move them from being an ot cell to being diligent. Did I miss a fill in blank here? Rich. Apply this proverb to your own walk with God. Do you desire the blessing of obedience? I hope you do. If so, then ask God for a diligent heart and go gain those blessings. Blessings is your fill in blank. And you will certainly be the richer for doing so. Chapter 21, verse 25. The desire of the ot cell, the desire of the lazy man kills him. Now, he just mentioned he's got desires. He's got all kinds of plans. He's never going to get any of them done. But boy, he's got big plans. When I get rich, I'm going to do this. When I get rich, I'm going to do that. That desire just kills him. The desire of the lazy man kills him, for his hands refuse to labor. There's the problem. He's got all these plans, but no way to get them done because his hands won't get dirty in the process. His hands won't get busy. The word kills is your first one blank. Solomon went on to say that desire just kills the lazy man. He wants so much, but he lacks because he has not learned how to work. Work. His hands refuse to labor. Chapter 19, verse 15. Laziness casts one into a deep sleep. And here comes the Ramiah. The Ramiah, and an idle person, I would translate it lax person, or slack, the slacker, if you like that one, you can say that. Then an idle person will suffer hunger. So we have both of them, the Otzel and the Ramiah, in the same sentence here. The lax person, lax is your first one blank, will eventually be a hungry person. You know, I have often told my kids we adopted them when they were 2, 3, and 4, and I mean from the very beginning, when they wanted to whine, and when they wanted to steal, and when they wanted to do anything but the right way to get something. They wanted to snatch, they wanted to grab, they wanted to steal, they wanted to lie, they wanted to whine. I said, look, there's only two ways in this life to get things. One is by asking, and the other is by working hard. That's the only way you get anything. I don't know if they ever believed me, but I told them that consistently all their lives, And one of them finally quoted that back to me. You told me that the only two ways to get things in life, and that's to work hard, and that's right, son, go do it, right? You ask God for it. If he provides it, great. If he doesn't, that's okay too. If it's something you can work hard for, then work hard for it. If it's worth having, it's worth working for. But any other means of getting things, it's not in God's plan. An idle person will suffer hunger. You got to work hard. Hard is the fill in the blank. Being lazy or lax reduces your chances of getting something by half because all you got left is asking. So you can beg and hope someone gives it to you, but you're not going to get it by work because your hand is too slack. We see the Ramiah again in chapter 10, verse 4. He who has a slack hand, here the Ramiah refers to the palm of the hand, literally a palm of laxness is what it says, becomes poor. But the hand of the diligent makes rich. Interesting. They both have hands. One is slack. One is lax. The other is diligent. The other one's sharpened, right? It's polished. And it's getting things done. One's sharp. One's loose. Impoverishes your first fill in the blank. Laxity will eventually impoverish a person. Too many days of fun will yield years of misery. The word remia is used several times in Scripture to describe an untrustworthy bow. Bow is your fill in the blank. A slack bow can be shot over and over, but don't expect to get any meat for the table. Meat. However, the sharp person, or diligent, learns to try more effective labors to procure needs. They're sharp, and they show it. They're diligent. They get things done. Get things done better. Verse 24, the hand of the diligent will rule, but the lazy man will be put to forced labor. Now we're back to the otzel. No, I'm sorry. No, that's still the remia. It's translated here lazy man, but again, it's the hand, referring back to that palm or hand of laxness or looseness. All right, a little economics here. In economics, sharp or diligent people eventually rise to positions of leadership. Now, I mean high leadership. I realize that lower and middle management is full of people that couldn't do anything else, so they were promoted to a spot that where they didn't cause much damage. I understand that in the corporate world. Some people do that because they can't do anything else, or they won't do anything else. So here, you just, you know, pretend like you're the supervisor, and we'll do our job. But I mean real positions of leadership. Those are not given to the people who won't do anything else or can't do anything else. They're given to the people who get things done and know how to get things done. And so it is in the work of God. Why on earth do you think he has called us to things? He said, here, be faithful over a few things, because why? I want to make you ruler over many. He's got big plans for his kids. None of which involves being an otzel or a remia. He wants us to rise. He wants us to not be lax, to not be slackers. He wants us to be sharp, to be focused, to be diligent. Look, again, economics. The hand of the diligent will rule, but the lazy man would put to forced labor. Forced labor here can also, if it's speaking of a nation, it would mean being tributary. Tributary meaning you have to pay somebody to let you live. You have to pay somebody to let you be free. You have to pay somebody. It's protection money, so to speak. Tributary. The lax, the slacker, ends up being forced to labor like a slave. So if you cannot drive yourself as a fill in the blank, to accomplish things, eventually someone or some set of harsh circumstances will have to do this for you. And, you know, that was the point. You know, my wife and I, we kept trying to help our son, and, you know, and we, you know, it reached the point where we realized we really were just getting in the way. Because every time we tried to rescue him from the situation he was in, you know, there was one point he was up here on the streets of Little Rock, homeless and living out of homeless shelters and you know, muling drugs for drug lords and other things, just trying to make ends meet. And we rescued him from that, and we rescued him from this and rescued him from that. And it finally just dawned on us, we're hindering him. We're not helping him. It's going to take some really, really harsh circumstances to force him to realize he's got to get back to what he was taught. And it's been hard. You know, it's been hard emotionally. And you know, and people always look at you like, well, why don't you just help him? We are. We are helping him. We are helping him by getting out of God's way. because he's going to have to be forced. If he won't do it himself, he's going to have to be forced. And obviously we can't do it. And this is what happens. Sharp people, they rise to positions of leadership. And the idea is not that the sharp or the diligent will become ogres over the lax. It just simply means that's economics. The sharp rise and the other ones eventually had to be forced to work or they starve to death. And so something has to move them because they don't have the motivation in themselves. The last one, Proverbs 12:27. Again, the Ramiah does not roast what he took in hunting, but diligence is man's precious possession. Imagine a hunter who lets his meat spoil because he never took the time or effort to prepare it for the table. I remember when I was in Murfreesboro, it was almost legendary by the time I got there, but I don't remember the guy's name, and if I did remember, I shouldn't repeat it. But anyway, it was an individual who, he went out hunting and he saw 2 6-point bucks, just looked identical, probably they were brothers running together, and he stopped his truck and jumped out and threw his gun across the hood of the truck, and he fired and they both fell. And he was so excited, he got those 2 6-pointers, and put him in the back of his truck, and he began to go all over the community showing everybody and retelling the story and, you know, how he shot these 2 bucks with one shot. And at the end of the day, the meat had to be thrown out because he never took time to clean them, much less gut the meat, and it was all ruined. But he had an exciting story, and he became kind of a, you know, the local fool in everybody's minds. You know, you could have told that story later, but save the meat, right? Save the meat. Well, that's hunting. I mean, the fun ends when you pull the trigger. Then the work begins. But that's necessary work, is it not? It's necessary work. Cleaning, preserving, and cooking, those aren't fun, but they're necessary in order to survive, in order to get the benefit out of what you took in hunting. So spoil is your first fill in blank. The next fill in blank is treasure. But a sharp person is a rare and valuable treasure to himself. He doesn't realize it. One of his best resources is his ability to let God motivate him. His ability to believe that God is enough and serving the Lord is enough, is blessing enough, and being busy is what we're called to do, and so he's busy or she's busy. He says it's precious possession, and that's two words that he's put together there. One speaks of just kind of a general word for wealth. Home is the word, and the other is a word that speaks of like precious stones or precious metals, things that are rare, and because they're rare, they have value. I can't remember right now what that Hebrew word is, but believe me, it's there. It's just, and he says that precious wealth of a man, and the word man there is Adam, mankind, is this idea of diligence. After listening to my daughter last night, apparently it is rare and precious to find somebody who's diligent, at least in the younger generation. Hard to find people that we say are go-getters. But not because we're not just talking about hyperactivity. We're talking about people, as I said, that are motivated by God. That he's enough. Serving him is enough. Your last fill in the blank is upright. Diligence is self-enriching, and it's upright. So, next year when the pastor says, "Who wants to sign up for Bible school?" I hope all of you are like, I'm there for you, Pastor. You know, I'm there. All right. Did I miss the film? I should have asked last night. Did I miss one? Did anybody need me to repeat one? I've run you right to the limit, so I'm going to have to turn over to the pastor. We're going to have to pray and get out of here before the kids run us over, I guess.